Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Baum and I'll be your host for this panel up until 12 o'clock. Now, let us be honest that the last year and a bit has thrown us all off routine and made every day's life a little trickier than ever. We've seen that schools have been closed, reopening dates have been moved out, online classes have become a new thing. And if we as adults are trying to adjust, then imagine how our kids are feeling. So how do we get our kids back into the school routine and how do the educators plan? Right, we're going to call our first guest. Our first guest, Maulana Muhammad Al-Karwaya. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope you are keeping well, Maulana.
Yeah, I am. Maulana, you are an educator here at the Lanesia Muslim School. And from an educator's point of view, as a teacher, is it just as challenging to get back into routine?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa salli ala rasulil kareem amma ba'd. So, Maulana, just before we just get into this question of getting back into routine and the challenges, that, especially now with the resurgence of the virus and, the changes of the shifting or the reopening of dates and how this whole school year is now being, I would say toppled around and being mixed around now. There was expectations for maybe starting a new year and, things going back to normal. Not so much, as I say, to normal, but teachers or the education system was being prepared towards the end of last year and maybe things would be much more different this year. And then suddenly we can see that how this re-emergence or the resurgence of this virus again came with the exponential numbers and it just threw everything off. But just to quickly share some preliminary thoughts, which I want to share with the listeners, which is about this aspect of a routine, school routines, and I think it just applies not only just to our learners, but to even as adults, and even those that are involved in various professions, whether it is in the education profession or any other form of profession. Mm-hmm. Routine is a aspect of how we manage our time. And time, as we know, within our deen, is a very important concept. We know that Allah Ta'ala mentions the importance of time. Allah Ta'ala talks about it, takes a qasam of it, wal asri. Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam on time. And then we know from a hadith also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions a hadith of Qudsi, that la tusubbu al-dahar wa ana al-dahar. Allah Ta'ala says that do not swear time, for indeed I am time. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also mentions ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas as-sihha wal-faragh. These are two bounties of Allah Ta'ala, which is time and health, that sometimes people take it for granted. I think one thing that this COVID should have taught us, or the lesson behind, or one of the lessons that we should learn from this COVID, is that how we should appreciate these two bounties of Allah Ta'ala, because we know health is obviously one of the things that this COVID has affected, and how we have to take precautions, we have to look after ourselves, put tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala protect us from this disease, and Allah Ta'ala keep our families safe from it. At the same time, also our time, we need to appreciate it, because how it has thrown our daily routines, our way of life, our things have changed from this year. So coming to this aspect of challenges of getting back into routine, we find that especially in the education sector or in the education fraternity or the teaching fraternity, that normally after a long period of break, which is normally what we say the December break or the summer holidays, and now we're coming back into this routine now of starting a new academic year, a new year of teaching and learning. And yes, it does throw us into that, getting back into routine does pose a challenge, because especially it depends on how the lifestyle was or how things were in the break that we take. And normally if we notice that because of lengthy periods of time, and if the particular routine takes place within a lengthy period of time, it normally that forms that habit, gets into it, and now you have to transition from one habit to the other, transition from one way to the other. Now as the new year begins, now we're transitioning. It does pose into a challenge. And I think one of the things that we need to look at is that one of the ways that which we can overcome one of these things is that we have to obviously set the goals. Normally, at the start of an academic year, teachers are now at the start of it. They begin their planning. They begin their organizing of their material. Some teachers will even use the time of their holidays to basically search for materials, things that can liven the lessons that they will teach, and how things will be better, how they can make the lessons better, how can they even make a difference in their lives, looking at different strategies, just going through these materials, looking for things that, just to liven that lesson. So these are things that learners, the teachers have, that they normally do at the beginning of the academic year, where they do work towards setting goals, and that unfortunately this year, we started at the beginning, that, it has been a different year altogether. Now, for most schools, it's going to start off with now online, because as the president of the country has announced, most schools will be opening around the 15th, where the learners will be returning on the 15th. Some will actually be returning on the 1st. Most likely the independent school, the more of the independent schools or Muslim schools, many of them will be now where the learners will be coming in on the 1st or so. Different schools will have different protocols and different procedures in place. But the whole aspect of this year is that what goals are set and how to obviously achieve those goals. It has to be, goals have to be achieved. One of the aspects that when it comes to just looking at how we can overcoming these type, is even as learners, teachers as well, any form of profession, as adults as well, is that we must be consistent, and we take lesson from the blessed hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Take up good deeds only as much as you are able to, for the best good deeds are those that are done regularly if they are few." So from this hadith, we can we can deduce that if we set that even if we do it gradually, we do a few at a time, and we set those into routine, and we are able to do it as we are consistent in those actions and in those goals that we are set, and we are able to maybe get back into the routine. As some research does show, that normally within a period of 40 days, that is why even we find that within, especially amongst the Sufis, amongst the Tabligh Jamaat, and that they use the term 40 days, chilla, sometimes it was termed in Urdu, because this transformation of a person or change of a person often occurs in this period of time of 40 days. And even research has shown or indicates that even when a particular action is done over a period of time, of even that period of time of 40 days, within that period of time, it becomes routine, it becomes habit, it becomes automated. From goal orientated, it becomes automated, meaning that it now becomes automatic in one's lifestyle, in one's routine. So this is one of the things that just set achievable goals. It doesn't have to be many goals, but even if it's done, few goals are set, and it is done gradually and consistent, it will, inshallah, become a habit, and learners will be able to get into the routine. Even we as professionals will be able to get into a routine. One of the other aspects is to create a schedule also. And as well, one of the beauty things about the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is even we learn how to set routine from the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One person had wrote in an article that, one of the ways of setting one daily schedule is that one must start by blocking out times of salah. What does that mean, basically? That revolve your time around salah. And if you look actually around the routine of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's routines was centered around how these times of salah were. At time we look at how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend time in the masjid of teaching. It would happen around after the Fajr salah, after the Ishraq Salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would engage with the companions and Sahaba radiallahu anhum in teaching. Sometimes then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some mentioned that before the time of Dhuhr, that is when he would take his siesta, his qailula, take a bit of rest, and thereafter, after Dhuhr, he would then go out to the marketplaces and visit, or he would meet delegations. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually would, in the evenings, particular after Isha Salah, would never ever sit and do anything, engage in any talk or any discussion. Immediately would go to rest. so that he would be rested and wake up early for the tahajjud salah, for his salah in the latter part of the night and perform his tahajjud salah. So this is one of the things that we can learn, that by creating a daily schedule mostly centered around our salah, then also it will be able that if we learn, imbibe this type of quality or this type of these habits within our children, then inshallah it will bring some good routines within them at the start of this new academic year.
Jamal, very important aspects that Maa has brought on, especially the part of routine and how to bring in salah. Instead of saying it, this time, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rather revolve yourself around salah, saying after the Fajr salah, this will be done, after the Zohr salah, this will be done. Very important, especially in the life of a Muslim. Maa, last year we seen something very different that came into, especially for us teachers, and many of our institutions have teachers that are a bit elderly in age, and for them, technology is not one of those things that one of the stronger points. But last year we went on to the e-learning part of it. So does e-learning actually hamper routine in any way, and the challenges that Maulana has come across when doing with this e-learning, either with Zoom classes or with classes through Word?
Okay, so Maulana, this aspect, obviously, we're not going to go into the whole ethics. Okay, we may just touch on to the ethics of of technology and e-learning. I don't know whether we would say that e-learning has become a new norm, but it has obviously existed. Many education institutes already, prior even to the COVID pandemic, already started introducing e-learning into in various forms, whether it was through platforms like Google Classroom is more the most popular. Mm-hmm. It's only that private institutions may go on to using Zoom and other platforms. Some education institutes have already had it in place, and it obviously does have its pros. It is a way of in which learners and teachers can use it as a platform for sharing information, sharing lessons. And sometimes, learners that, that experience a bit of challenges in terms of their learning, maybe they didn't get what they required in class, the needs of that lesson and the requirements and the outcomes of that lesson, they may be able to follow up using some form of e-learning platform. Maybe they get an additional support. Sometimes teachers may be able to answer questions, using even a simple thing like the email or a WhatsApp, and discuss with them, like things that they were unable to look at. But coming to the aspect of ethics, we know that technology does have, while it does have its pros, it does also have its cons, and much research has also been done on this aspect here. I just came across another article about the range of attitudes towards smart technology consumption. So this person that had wrote this article identifies four attitudes in which towards smart technology consumption, and these four ranges from extreme conservatism to extreme liberal attitudes. So just to quickly go through it, there you get from the extreme conservative position, it holds that there's no good at all in modern technology, only harm. Then you get, for example, a conservative position where there's both good and harm in modern technology, but sometimes the harm outweighs the good. Then you get a much more liberal position, which holds that there's both good and harm in modern technology, the good outweighs the harm. And then the last, which is extreme liberal position, which holds that there's no harm in technology, only good. Now everyone has different different approaches to the way they use technology, but when it comes to some of the challenges that we do face, when it comes to e-learning, and sometimes you'll get like a learner that maybe if they're not supervised and monitored, because most of the learners are doing their e-learning from their homes, and if parents are not there to monitor them, when it does happen that maybe they don't really show full attention and focus in that lesson, maybe they might be online, on the Zoom lesson, perhaps you'll see the learner's name is there, but the learner might not even be present there. The learner might actually be, doing something else. One of the other things that, that does hamper in e-learning routine is distractions. And especially one of the things that does, distract is sound. Now, if you know, if a learner is sitting in a room, and maybe the learner might have some other, you know, siblings, and they're busy playing there, and this poor child has to now be in the classroom now listening to the teacher, maybe delivering a lesson. I won't say if it's going to be boring or interesting, but sometimes, you know, it varies from learner to learner. And, you know, the mind of the learner is now, you know, is listening to his siblings playing there, maybe a video game, or listening to social media, listening to watching YouTube videos or TikTok. You know, that mind is that learner is, can't I just get out of this this Zoom lesson quickly? Sometimes you even get children will ask the teacher, is it like over now? The lesson is over now. Because they want to now go and, you know, right, now, you know what, it's time now for me to stop and let me go and have my fun now with my siblings. It can be a various other things, but generally sound has that, you know, that ability to just distract the person, especially, you know, with other forms of technology. If it's in the house, it can, you know, like cause a bit of a distraction. One of the things that, you know, it's important that how as a parent, that they make that time to monitor, or, you know, to keep a good supervised program to monitor their children when it comes to the use of the technology. At the same time as well, you know, it must be motivated that, you know what, this is just the e-learning is not the actual learning. It's just, you know, like a secondary source. That, you know, as a learner, they need to actually still remember that the primary source of education is the teacher, and it may be also from materials, reading of books. I mean, it mustn't be that now, you know what, they depend only on the technology and they forget that, you know what, reading is an important part of learning, and they, you know, they turn away from reading. These are things that are some of the challenges that do pose, you know, that we must, that a learner mustn't become totally dependent on this e-learning as a way of learning. Rather, that the main source of learning is from the teacher, heart to heart. We know from an Islamic perspective that qalb to qalb, you know, the heart to heart teaching is a very important practice of teaching and learning. It was done by the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they sat at the helm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and learning from the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that heart to heart transmission, you know, of knowledge, that is obviously the foundation of knowledge, and then obviously other forms of secondary learning. Like reading, and that's still much more important than compared to using the e-learning platforms. These are just secondary, and it should not be a means of substituting our education, and it mustn't be that now this must become the total dependence on it.
Gee, Ma, very important points raised there also. Ma, just a question as a teacher, how would Ma like that parents can help and assist with children starting the new academic year in full flow? You must know that we are losing out quite a bit of time now early in the year. It's not normal. So how would Mara say that parents can help out?
So I think one of the aspects that as a parent, you know, that they should look at, you know, giving motivation towards their children, especially, you know, even, you know, the COVID pandemic does take a toll on the mental being of our children as well, other than, you know, the physical being, you know, having been cooped up in the home. Some children, you know, they shouldn't be even going out. You know, some parents too do that, and maybe even it is for the better, because, you know, if a child has, we don't know whether a child can be asymptomatic or not, and, you know, and they can pass it on, you know, to the elderly family members, and, you know, it can become a bit sensitive. But, you know, the aspect also that, you know, it does take a toll on the physical as well as the mental well-being of our children, and it's just important that we keep our children motivated as well. One of the key ways of teaching our children is firstly that they must find themselves in ways in which they can become closer to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, performing of dhikr, the remembrance of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, salah, even especially our smaller ones, even up to the smaller ones, you know, although maybe they may be starting grade one, and maybe they haven't been exposed to so much of, the practical aspects of salah and that. But as parents, they can teach their learners, their children, even as young as it is, as they are, you know, that how to perform wudu, the basics, you know, performing wudu, salah, even will be a means, it will be a way of even, preparing them for when they do come to their class on the first day of school. But one of the, you know, there's also some research that show that even, you know, that dhikr, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, does play a very important role in you know, in bringing positive, mental health and giving a person strength in mind. Recitation of Quran, all of these aspects, you know, it does have an impact on our mind. The second is that obviously as parents, they must be able to create a schedule for their children. Most schools will send out a timetable which will show which lessons will take place at time. You know, the smaller learners or the younger learners, maybe it might be a bit more challenging to follow those times, whereas, you know, more senior learners, they can take a bit more responsibility on their own. But, you know, when it comes to, like, the more junior learners, the ones that are in, you know, the foundation phase or the only or the intermediate phase up to maybe the, you know, the early teen years, it may be a bit more challenging. So they need to be able to, so as parents, they would have to need to monitor their learners, their children, rather. They must monitor their children and, you know, supervise them and just keep on giving them motivation. Tell them the benefits of learning, the importance of education across, and, you know, show that equal education, you know, across both the Islamic education and the secular, the English education as well, that it has its importance, and, you know, that you need to pay attention towards it and look and just, you know, and just, you know, like as we said at the start, you know, keep them, their minds focused around their routine of salah. They must be able to, like, you know, create a schedule for themselves, especially around the routines of salah. They mustn't leave out their salah. And then afterwards, they can, at home, you know, they can say that this is the time for their school time, so they need to be there. And then after that, you know, after their free time, after salah, after dhuhr salah, they can go and maybe get involved in whatever other activities they want to, physical. And it's important that they should take more note of physical activities, so that, you know what, it gives, in effect, physical activity like playing soccer or any other form of physical activity actually has more benefit towards the mind. It strengthens the mind more. Whereas, you know, if you take a child, if we just expose our learners more to, like, you know, technology, and sometimes it just said that technology might even drain them more than even benefit them. So let us try, especially as a parent, that they mustn't be too involved in their devices, in their phones. Overexposure to those devices or to their phones can hamper more the progress and productivity. And this, those are some of the things that they can look at.
JazakAllah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, after the break, we're going to speak to a parent from the insight of a parent when it comes to getting back into routine. JazakAllah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll speak to Maulana again sometime soon on Radio Islam.
Inshallah, JazakAllah khairan for having me. I'll make dua, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inshallah, we're going to go for a break, and after a break, we're going to come and speak to a parent on to discuss the, as when you're having kids, how to go back into routine and preparing the mindset as you get back into school. Inshallah, we're going for a break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Radio Islam International. We are doing the panel discussion on how to get our kids back into routine, especially in the start of the year. We know that many schools are supposed to open tomorrow. That was the initial date that was given. However, due to the COVID-19, the second wave that had come about, schools are now starting around the 15th of February. We spoke to Maulana Muhammad Akhlawaya, who is an educator. So as a teacher's point of view, how kids can get back into routine, how the teachers are implementing the different types of routines, and how e-learning or learning through social media has come about. We're now going to speak to Sister Sadia Taladia, who is a mother of six children. Her eldest is 14, youngest is 6 months. So we're going to get the different perspectives coming from her. Remember that most of her children are in school. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Radio Islam, Sister Sadia.
Wa alaikum salam
wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. JazakAllah for having me.
Before we discuss children, Sister Sadia, getting into routine, do parents also struggle to get back into routine after a break?
Definitely. Parents really struggle to get back into routine, especially it being the end of the year, and then, you know, having such a long break, and then being given a date, like you said, being tomorrow schools are supposed to open, and now, you know, it being pushed to the 15th of Feb. So it really, you know, there's so much of uncertainty, and it really, you know, pushes you back, because now you thought things are going to get back to normal and you were planning to do, you know, whatever we as parents now get back into our routine. And now it just got delayed another almost 3 weeks, you know. So it definitely takes us, you know, out of our routine, and now we have to now think about the kids again for another 3 weeks, making lunches, and everything just becomes, you know, so chilled and lax, and yeah, it's really hard to get back into that kind of routine again.
I agree with you, definitely, especially, you know, we've seen it when children are at school. And when they're at home, it's totally different. I know, I see that with my own kids, that when you're at home, they tend to be eating more. So, you know, you have to prepare for them, like, instead of having your 3 meals a day, you're preparing like 6 meals a day. Okay. Parents also have certainly played a big role in terms of the children's education, especially during this pandemic. Is it difficult switching between the role of parent and educator?
Oh, definitely. I think for me as a parent, it was definitely a struggle, you know, to become an educator. And I think it really makes us appreciate our educators and our staff for, you know, teaching the kids in class and having that syllabus and getting it done for the year, you know. I found when lockdown happened last year, you know, there was this whole, everybody was happy, there was no school, there was no homework, and everybody was on this, you know, really chill mode, and, you know, everything was just easy. And then when we started online, that's when I think we became a bit a challenge, you know. Firstly, being the fact that we had to allocate time and, you know, to teach our kids, you know, being given the lesson and then to try and teach it to them. And it was such a struggle for me personally, because I was not used to that, you know, they wouldn't pay attention. It took a lot of patience to try and get them to sit still and listen to what I'm saying. And then also being online, you have to listen to the lesson and then try and teach it to them, you know. So it was really a struggle. And I found that the kids also, you know, there's always these distractions at home. You know, you want to sit with them and allocate the time, and then they're hungry, or they need to go to the bathroom, or, you know, the phone will ring, or something or the other. There's always these distractions at home. It's really difficult, you know, to be that educator at home, to play that role. And then at the same time, we have multiple, you know, different age groups. So you're not teaching, you know, like a class where you have in the madrasa or in the school, where you're teaching a class full of children. This is like you're teaching one child and you have to switch now, you know, to the next child and so forth. So it really was challenging, you know.
Can I just come in there? Appa, you say there's quite a few. I'm sure Appa has about 3 or 4 children in school right now.
Gee.
And we've seen that towards last year, the middle of last year, many classes were going on to social media, Zoom classes. Many homes having one or two phones. How did Appa manage with the different classes going on maybe at the same time?
See, it is really, 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 really challenging, because for me personally, we only had one device. So it was switching between, you know, the smaller kids. And then luckily my bigger daughter has her own tablet. So she would email her lessons onto a tablet and do it from there. So that made it a whole lot easier, you know, to do her work. But the other three, you know, they were sharing like my phone, and then it was really a struggle, you know. And I think what I had to do was I had to explain to the ustad that, you know, Marv, I only have one device. I have 3 children, you know, doing the classes online. So alhamdulillah, some of the ustads were really understanding, where they said, you know what, you can send the work throughout the day, or you can send it even at night, and then they'll maybe look through it the next day or whatever and send us feedback. So alhamdulillah, that really made it easier for me as a parent, you know, because they understood that where I was coming from. You know, it's difficult to manage 3 kids' lessons, to listen to it, do the work, and then send the recordings, you know, because we were required to send recordings of, for example, sabak or hivs or whatever. So it really made it easier for me as a parent, those ustads, and understood, you know, that it's tough, it's difficult, and we had to just make adjustments. Yeah, so alhamdulillah for that.
Now, coming back to another aspect, we've seen that we had quite a long holiday. I mean, I think by mid-November, many of the exams was finished already for many of the students. So from November till now, it's more than 2 months. So many parents find that getting kids back into a normal sleeping routine after the break is the biggest challenge. What would be the most effective way in dealing with this?
I think the most effective way would be getting the kids to go to sleep, or else they're going to see. I'm just joking. For the smaller ones, I think they get a little maybe scared, but the big ones, they know there's no what else. You know, you can count them, counting to 10, and then if you're not sleeping, I'm going to send you outside. They like, you know, no one really believes you. But to the smaller ones, I think maybe you can get them a little scared, you know. But yeah, not always it works. And I think with children also, they know that. You know, there's, when they start in school, they sort of do get this anxiety, you know, of tomorrow school is starting, and do I have all my books and is my stationery done? And, you know, they sort of get that worry. So I think just easing their mind to say, you know what, you're going to have to go to school tomorrow. It's been a long break, but now, you know, we have to get back into routine. And just to try and make it easier for them, you know, to just try and tell them that it's going to be okay. And, you know, because they're worried about so many aspects, you know, going back, a new grade, a new teacher. They don't know what for this whole pandemic. Also, they don't know. There's so much of uncertainty of, you know, what's going to happen. Is it going to be school every day? Is it weekly? Is it daily? That sort of thing. So it's really, you know, they also get that worry and concern, you know. So putting their minds at ease that everything is going to be okay, and, you know, telling them that they have to go back to school, and if they sleep well, then they can, you know, have a good day the next day. And, you know, maybe just reading to them some stories, talking to them, easing their minds a little bit, you know, asking them what they want for lunch, what they would enjoy, things like that. Really help in just easing their minds and letting them being able to get a good night's sleep.
Gee, that's that was the next question, preparing the mindset as they get back to school after such a long break can also be. But any other tips that Appa can share about the mindset coming right?
I think just to sort of try and get them back sort of into some kind of routine. You know, sometimes this routine, it doesn't always work the way you want it to work. You know, even now, like, you want to try and get them into a routine, but because they know that there's no school tomorrow, there's just this sort of lack from them. You know, they want to spend more time taking longer to eat, for example, or just playing around, or just, you know, doing nothing, you know, because they know there's no school tomorrow. But then they know that there is going to be school the next day. They do also, they know that they have to get ready and get ready for school. So I think just easing their minds, letting everything run smoothly, making sure their bags are packed, their stationery is labeled, that sort of thing, you know, letting them know that tomorrow we have to get back into routine. And I've noticed that with my smaller one, she's 7, having such a long holiday, she actually was kind of looking forward to going back to school. She's asking me, like, when is school going to open, you know, like, there's sort of this this joy almost to say that she wants to now get back into the routine and get back to school, you know. So that also makes it easier, you know, because you know that they're happy at school and they want to go back to school to learn.
Gee, I was just speaking with a friend just a few days ago, and we said that we made this 20 years ago. The dua only got accepted now that, you know what, we want to have a longer break. But I think that the longer break we meant maybe was another week or so. Here they had a whole year extra as a break, and we've seen that many children are, you know, as we can say, that irritated sitting at home. You can't go to your friend. You're just within those four walls, confined within that four walls. So it is a very different challenge that has come about. Appa, any closing comments before we leave?
See, I just like to say that also, I think that definitely everybody was really happy that, you know, we had such a long break. I think, like you said, everyone's dua could accept it. It could just be no homework, no routine, no nothing. Everything went out the window, and we were just spending time with our family, you know. And for me personally, as a parent, I really enjoyed that time, you know, because I really got to spend time with my kids that I wouldn't normally have been able to do. Because even when we have those holidays, it's such a short time, you know. By the time you actually realize it, like, get back into the holiday, like, you enjoy the holiday, it's already over and it's time to get back to school, you know. So with this, it was a longer time, and it was really a time to spend with our families and get to know our children and to really see the challenges that they face as children. You know, in me having, multiple age groups, I really found that with the elder ones, I could really speak to them and spend time with them and actually firsthand see the challenges that they're facing, you know, on social media, on the phone, the friends, the peer pressure, all that kind of thing. So I think it really helped me as a parent to, you know, gain perspective and also to see from them, like, the work that they have to do, you know, school work, Najesa work, how it's so challenging for our children today, you know, and to just try and be a parent to them, try and be there for them, try and help them navigate through these challenges, you know. So alhamdulillah for that. So, yeah.
As a teacher in a madrasa, I know I got feedback from many of my students' parents that when we told them that you need to, sit with your children and learn certain du'as, and they said, "Ma, we didn't learn this du'as, so it was a time for us that we learned a lot of du'as, certain surahs of ours that we normally used to make mistakes. It freshened our mistakes and reading Quran also. So maybe there was some benefit also that, there was a lot of benefit when children were reading at home also.
See, definitely. I think we also experienced, also learned a lot from the children. You know, you tell them stories or like you say du'as in it, and they'll be like, this is how, you know, it was supposed to be read, and us learning again new things. So definitely we also learned a lot with the children being at home.
Jazakallah, Appa, for your time. Much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll speak to Appa again soon.
Inshallah,
JazakAllah
so much
for having
me.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With that, we come to the end of today's panel discussion about how to get our children back into routine. Coming that the schools will be opening very soon, and how we can get the year cracking. We know we have lost much time with this COVID-19 the school's supposed to open tomorrow, but many schools are now opening, especially government schools are now be opening around the 15th of February. So normally schools do open around the 15th of January. That's a whole month of work that has been lost. So let us try to get into routine, and we do hope that parents do play their part also. Teachers will be playing their part, and inshallah everything goes well. From myself, Muhammad Baam, and my two guests, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.